Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoff, and I have the pleasure of welcoming back for another podcast, Jeff Kaplan, the founder and managing director of Think Strategies. In this podcast, we're going to discuss the government's use of the cloud and how this will be impacting businesses in the future. So first of all, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me once again.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Peter.
Now, people often think that the government is generally behind the times in terms of technology. Would you say this is also true in terms of cloud computing?
Not at all. In fact, the Obama administration, as well as other segments of the public sector, are recognizing that cloud computing may, in fact, be a timely solution to meet the escalating budgetary challenges that they're facing in this tough economic environment.
Interesting. Now, what are some of the key government initiatives that industries should pay attention to?
Well, you know, at the federal level, the CIO for the Obama administration comes out of the technology industry, and he announced early on that he's a big proponent of both software as a service as well as the broader cloud computing phenomenon. And he's been working with government agencies as well as the leaders within the cloud computing sector to drive cloud computing alternatives into the federal policymaking process. So that includes most recently a directive by the Office of Management and Budget to put a freeze on about $3 billion worth of spending that was planned for this year on new financial management systems to help control government spending at the federal level. What they want to do is evaluate those projects to determine whether or not they might be more effectively deployed on a cloud infrastructure and via a software as a service solution model. In addition, about a year or so ago, the federal government launched its own apps marketplace called apps.gov, and it's a terrific site not only for government agencies but even for private institutions to take a look at, because in addition to having an assortment of online software as a service solutions available to be procured from the site itself, it also is a terrific resource center for industry best practices and even definitions of what is SaaS and cloud computing, including the National Institute of Standards and Technology's definition of cloud computing, which is a working white paper, which they provide in a Word format, which is terrific. Then also, just to make the point even more dramatically, you know, when we think about the cloud, and you tend to think of the government being a laggard when it comes to technology, of course, we know that NASA and other segments of the federal government have actually been in the lead in terms of developing new technologies. Well, so is the Department of Defense, and it has been a big proponent of SaaSifying, if you will, some of their government processes. So they have recently been deploying a customer relationship management system provided by a company called Right Now to improve the responsiveness of the agency, not only to their own employees' requirements, but to third-party contractors and U.S. citizens as well. So we're seeing a lot of things happening at the federal level.
Interesting. Now, you say federal level, but not everything in terms of cloud and government is happening at the federal level, right?
Well, you're right about that. In fact, it's permeating almost every level of the public sector. One of the more notorious conversions to a SaaS alternative or cloud-based alternative is the decision by the city of L.A. to convert its email system from a legacy platform to Google Apps. And it actually worked in conjunction with Computer Sciences Corporation, or CSC, to deploy that across all of the city agencies to support over 34,000 employees. And they expect significant cost savings from that initiative. And they've also put in place some pretty strict policies and procedures regarding security and compliance to ensure that it meets their government requirements as well. I had the privilege of attending a conference last month where the CIO of Orlando, Florida, a fellow by the name of Conrad Cross, I thought put it best. He said, you know, for a guy like me, in a tough situation where every year I'm being asked to reduce our operating budget by 10, 15, maybe even 20%, I need to get out of the server business and get into the services business. And that's becoming the battle cry of a lot of IT decision makers at all levels of government.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Now, what would you say are the long-term implications of these government initiatives?
Well, first of all, it demonstrates that software as a service and cloud computing can be applied to any sector of the marketplace, whether it's the public sector or various vertical industries, and can be used in a variety of ways to meet the day-to-day email requirements or more sophisticated operational needs for expansive agencies like the Department of Defense, and that it can meet, in fact, the security and compliance requirements of the most stringent operating environments as well. And what it's also demonstrating is the scalability of these services as well as the economic value that they bring. And all of this, of course, contributes to a momentum that will help to encourage the evolution of the marketplace and hopefully the greater maturity of the services that the SaaS and cloud vendors are offering to the market as we go into the future.
Excellent. Now, the government, as well as many private enterprises, have had some caution with the cloud because it's been said that it risks amplifying some current problems. How would you say would be the best way to prevent this from happening?
Well, it's a great point. You know, when you move to a services business, like Conrad Cross over at Orlando put it, you know, you are putting a lot of trust into the service provider to supply you with not only the functionality you expect, but more importantly, the reliability and security that you require. And therefore, it puts a greater burden than ever before on the IT and business decision makers within those organizations to thoroughly investigate as well as evaluate the service delivery capabilities of those providers and put in place solid service level agreements with teeth that have the ability to govern that business relationship and service capabilities to ensure that they mitigate the potential risks involved in moving down this path. That risk, of course, is even compounded by the fact that we've seen a proliferation of players, many of whom are simply rebranding their traditional capabilities to try to capitalize on this rapidly evolving marketplace. So rather than this business disintermediating the IT manager or even the CIO, it in fact puts even greater responsibilities on them to select the right vendors and properly manage those vendor relationships on an ongoing basis.
Excellent information. And early on, you did say the government was dedicating $3 billion, which should be enough to get some people's attention. This is eBizQ's Peter Schoff speaking once again with Jeff Kaplan of Think Strategies. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast, Jeff.
My pleasure.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.